Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We are getting an update from Organto Foods, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol OGO, and on the OTCQB under the symbol OGOFF. We are chatting with the co-CEO and chairman, Steve Bromley. Now, Organto is an integrated provider of branded, private label, and distributed organic and non-GMO fruit and vegetable products, mostly focused in Europe. The company uses an asset-light model, also has three main revenue streams, that is the branded products, the bulk products, and the private label products. Now, Steve, it's been a little while since we last chatted. We had you back on to update everybody more at the beginning of the year. I wanted to bring you back on now because we did just see the Q1 financial results for the company that was released at the tail end of May. It was the largest quarterly sales and gross profit in the company's history. So first quarter sales came in at just under $7 million. That exceeded last year, the prior year's quarter, that was closing in on $5 million. We also had record first quarter gross profit of $670,000. That's about 10% of sales versus about $450,000. Balance sheet also improved. Cash on hand, about $9.5 million. That was about $3.6 million in the prior year. Working capital is up to $8 million. Steve, in terms of the financials, take us through some of the developments from Q1, please.
Yeah, thanks, Corey. It's great to chat with everyone. And you're right, the first quarter was a record for the company from a sales point of view and from a gross margin point of view. We're really pleased. These are difficult times in the food industry in general with a lot of the challenges. And so to see our business model really performing well is quite encouraging as we work through those challenges. Our revenues did grow. It grew across most of the product lines that we're carrying today. On the fruit and vegetable side of the business, most of our customers continue to grow. We continue to bring on new customers. You know, we did launch our brand, the I Am Organic brand, during the early in the fourth quarter of 2021. And so we're continuing to see nice growth and momentum there as well. So, you know, all things considered, going very well. On the gross margin side of things, you know, that's where a great deal of focus is continuing to be placed in our business. You know, there are a lot of supply chain challenges and inflationary challenges that companies are having to deal with. And so it's very, very important that we're able to pass those costs along. We've done a good job of doing that. You noted our gross margins increased. We were up 270 basis points versus Q4. And we, you know, continue to expect to see that momentum going forward. And the shift in margins is really being driven by the shift in our product mix. You know, you talked about the three product categories that we handle: bulk, private label, or branded. You know, bulk, if you think about a single avocado in the grocery store, you can go and you can pick it up. You can choose which one you want. That's bulk. If you get a private label package of three with the retailer's name on it, that would be private label. And then into branded, where we would have our own brand, the I Am Organic brand. The margins increase sequentially given the value that we're adding. And so one of our core strategies is to continue to shift from bulk. And you have to be good at bulk in order to be good at private label and branded. And so, you know, we're in the transitionary period now of shifting from bulk being the primary sales that we were doing into private label and branded, and that's driving gross margins. So yeah, all in all, really pleased with the quarter and continuing to move the business forward.
Well, Steve, another area that I think Organto is excelling in is being able to make smart acquisitions and grow the business that way. And you did three key acquisitions in 2021. Just for people not familiar with the story, bring us up to speed on what those were and how those helped expanded the product line.
Sure. So, you know, our strategy is to build a one-stop shop in fresh organic fruits and vegetables. And so we don't want to be known for mango or known for avocado. We want to be known for a broad range, a full basket of products so that we can be a solutions provider to our customers. If you want it branded, if you want it private label, if you want it bulk, we'll do that. If you want different packaging formats, we'll do that. What are you looking for? Which product is it? We'll have it. And so you know, we've been expanding our product portfolio. When we started really in earnest about 4 years ago, we had green beans and sugar snaps and snow peas as really was our product offering. Today, we have a wide product offering of probably 15 vegetables and 15 type products. And so part of building out that one-stop shop is to add companies that have customers that align with what we're doing. They have products that align. They have geographic, you know, they serve sectors that we want to serve. And so last year we acquired three businesses. We acquired a company called Fresh Organic Choice, which was in fresh cut organic herbs. And so we weren't in the herb category and wanted to move into the herb category. So we acquired Fresh Organic Choice, a business based in Holland, asset-light business model, just like ourselves, 24 different herbs. Business has done really well since we acquired it. It's primarily all private label and a little bit of branded, so it fit with our strategy of growing our gross margins. Business has done really well, and we're really, really pleased with how that's going. We'd love to acquire another 100 Fresh Organic Choices if we could find them. In November, we acquired Bee Organic. Bee Organic is focused on organic bananas. We did not have bananas in our portfolio. Since we've acquired that business, we've grown the banana portfolio quite dramatically and received a lot of new retail branded listings in bananas. And the banana that Bee Organic handles comes from the Dominican Republic. And it's a little bit of a smaller banana than traditional, and it's ripened. So we have a different ripening technique, which gives the banana longer shelf life and a different flavor, a little different flavor profile. So Bee Organic was acquired, doing really, really well, added new customers to our portfolio, brought a new product to our portfolio. And then in November as well last year, we acquired Zimbabwe Marketing Services. This did not bring new products. Acquisition didn't bring new products to the platform because their products are raspberries and beans, peas, and snaps. We have those, but it brought further depth in categories that we were in. But what it really brought to us was their expertise is in sourcing products from Africa. And given that we go to market in Europe today, the African market is a logical sourcing location for us. And so they had a team on the ground in Africa, which we've now been able to leverage as we're continuing to grow our business. Business is doing well. We're into the second campaign on raspberries, and we're just about to start the season now in beans, peas, and snaps. So, yeah, three acquisitions. They're all doing well. Love to find a bunch more just like that.
What is the acquisition environment like right now, Steve? Because, look, Organto, unfortunately, has been sold off like a lot of other stocks right now. But that can also present opportunities if you are the acquirer. Any insights on potential acquisitions, what that environment is like for the company?
I guess a couple of comments to that, Corey. One is we're continuing to pursue a number of interesting acquisitions, both European-based and North American-based. We would like to, you know, move our model over to North America here at a point in time. I'd say the markets are all fairly cautious. Sellers are cautious right now. Buyers are cautious. Some sellers, it's not a good time not to have cash on your balance sheet. And so we're watching for sellers who may come under a little bit of duress in that regard. And of course, we're also being careful because one of the things that we do with acquisitions is pay for those acquisitions through cash, some equity that invests over time, and then earnouts. And we're not real anxious, given, you know, where our stock price is at the time, to use a lot of equity on transactions. Having said that, we're continuing to pursue some really interesting opportunities. And, you know, as I said, in the M&A world, you never put one in the bank until it's actually done. But there's opportunities out there, and we're really going to watch. We're watching quite close for businesses that may be able to get at a more economical price than in different cycles.
Well, Steve, we'll keep our eyes out for that, but hats off to your team for continuing to grow the business so far. And you've already got quite a few things to say grace over, as they say. So one of the questions that a lot of people are wondering about the food industry, Steve, is with inflation, with the world we see with the Ukraine-Russia tension, with the high cost of shipping and just, you know, fertilizers, when you look at all of that, how are you guys navigating the new world that we're all in?
We're really operating in right now in what we call a risk-off cash preservation mode. And you know, look, today we've got supply chains that unfortunately are not in the best of shape. The good news is we've managed to continue to, you know, feed people, and the supply chains, you know, have kept that alive. But, you know, the costs in the supply chain are really, really heavy, being driven by container costs. You know, the typical container is up anywhere from 6 to 10 times in cost 1 year over the other. Inflation is rising really, really quickly. Supply is tough in places now. You know, we've got weather, climate issues that are, you know, impacting growing regions around the world. And if that wasn't enough, we've got the Russia-Ukraine war going on. So, you know, we're in a situation where costs are going up dramatically. Supply is getting tighter in certain commodities. And so for us, it's about really paying attention. You know, we like to consider ourselves experts in the products that we're handling. And so, you know, we have people that come to work every day and all they think about are avocado or mango or asparagus, you know, different people. And that's their job, to understand all the dynamics around the world every day. And so that allows us to be knowledgeable, but at the same time, you've got to be flexible as well. You don't want to find yourself in a situation, we don't want to find ourselves in a situation where the only source of supply is one location, because you don't know what weather will do to that location. So you've got to have more than one source of supply. You've got to have good commitments from the transporters that you're dealing with, and you need to be able to pass through price. And so, you know, we've really shortened up our pricing cycles. We don't want to find ourselves long on risk in any pricing cycle right now, because you can just, your margins can totally go away overnight. So it's really interesting. These are, you know, I've been in the food industry for 35 years, and I can tell you that this is about as interesting as I have seen it, with all the various dynamics that are going on. You know, I was telling someone the other day, the good news is that the food channels are resilient. We'll find a way to get the food through, but I don't think any consumer should be under the impression that they're going to see cheaper food anytime soon. And I wouldn't be living in the world where you think there's going to be excess supply. There won't be for a period of time here, but the food will get through, and we will keep eating.
What news should investors be focused on as we finish up Q2 here, but more importantly, move through the second half of this year?
Yeah, I think, look for us to continue to build out our private label and branded product offerings. You know, we have a lot of very interesting discussions and opportunities ongoing with some large retailers in the European market. So look for us to continue to do that. Look for us to continue to look for accretive acquisitions that, you know, will bolster our platform, potentially in North America, expanding there as well, and continued growth in the business. You know, we have lots of supply getting lined up, and our business starts with supply. So once you have supply, then you can add value and sell it. And so we, you know, had made good progress there. So, you know, really around our three core strategies: build supply, build brands, and build infrastructure. So look for us to continue to build the supply, continue to build out our brand and product offering. And, you know, I didn't mention it, but from an infrastructure point of view, we've added 8 senior commercial resources over the last 6 to 8 months. And they're now all in place. And so we've got the resources that we need to substantially grow the business without a lot of additional costs. So that's exciting for us as well.
All right, Steve, I appreciate this update. If anybody has any follow-up questions for Steve regarding anything going on at Organto Foods, please email us either fleck@kereport.com or shad@kereport.com. We will get those addressed for you. And Steve, let's get you back on the show on the back of some more news, just to keep everybody a bit more up to speed, especially over this summer period and as we transition into the second half of this year. Steve, thank you for your time. Keep us up to date on future news, please.
Thanks, guys. Take care.